Were you the first person in your family to go to university? What was that like for you, and what kind of supports helped you adjust? Tell us about it on our Facebook page. There are lots of stories there already from different parts of Australia, and we'd love to hear yours too. Starting study at a big new institution can be difficult, but if you've got no family history of university study, you can feel like you don't really belong there. There's a new program on at Victoria University in Melbourne that aims to bridge that gap and give kids a better chance of completing their studies. Psychologist Dr. Bert Oreson helped develop the Kickstart program. Bert, welcome to Life Matters.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. Now, what happens to students who are the first in their family to go to university? What are some of the challenges they report?
Yeah, look, international research identified students that are first in family have more difficulties staying at university, and certainly we have lower rate of graduations and retention. And worse, perhaps, in both ways. First, in a psychological way, it's the sense of belonging that you mentioned, but also the academic challenges additional to any other student.
So tell us about some of the practical day-to-day challenges they might find that people who weren't the first in their family might take for granted.
Absolutely, and that's the familiarity with university procedures, university language, and you know, that sort of idiom that we have, you know, lecturers, tutors, essays, and it's all, you know, unfamiliar to them, and that's what they face.
And you talked about the psychological issues too. What kind of support do families who have an expectation that their child will go to university give to that child that other kids might miss out on?
Well, the idea is the lack of familiarity. And it's a varied range of support. Somebody is very enthusiastic and very supportive emotionally of the children, which in a way sometimes can be detrimental because the demands are also very high. And some families are completely opposed and say, just you get a job like I did, and your uncles and all your family. So we've got a variety of levels of support, but sometimes the pressure is works both ways.
And I guess a lot of people might assume that kids who are first in the family to go to uni would be from lower socioeconomic backgrounds. Is that always the case?
Not necessarily. We have certainly will be lower, but more as well in the middle. And sometimes people, they come from comfortable families economically, but they haven't pursued studies. So it's really hard to identify a profile for our first in family students. We have a range of backgrounds, and it's not necessarily always equated to a lower socioeconomic.
We need to check our assumptions about that.
Absolutely.
And Bert, aren't there enough supports available at universities already? I know they have housing support facilities often and other kinds of emotional support. Is that not enough?
Well, Victoria University particularly is big in equity and giving access to our students, and there are many, many services and supports in place. What we feel that our program fills a bit of a gap in terms of the sense of belonging and giving our students that extra impulse. There's certainly a lot of supports in place, but we just give our first in family that extra skills and confidence to start.
And Jasmine Kellett is a first-year student at Victoria University. Jasmine, welcome to Life Matters.
Thank you for having me.
Now, you are the first in your family to go to uni,
yes,
and you had your first day recently. How did it go?
Yes, my first day was yesterday, and it went really well. I feel like the program Kickstart, it really helped me because I was able to access the learning space that we have to use in classes, and I got a better idea of how the class would go. So, yeah, it was great. And I also made a friend in the Kickstart program that was in my class, so that was great.
There's nothing like having one familiar face in the queue outside class, is there?
Yeah, it's just something about it. You know, if I go into a lecture and I don't know anyone in there, it's kind of a bit overwhelming. But no, I knew the people, or at least a few of them anyway, in my class yesterday, and that was great. And we worked together in one of the group activities, so it was great.
And did you find that before you did the Kickstart program, you had expectations that you had to change afterwards?
I think there were a few, but nothing too crazy. I was kind of under the impression it would be a bit different to what I had in mind because, you know, you see things on TV about how uni is and life that it has. But no, it was very eye-opening, the Kickstart program, and I was very well prepared for yesterday's classes. So that was great.
That's good. And it sounds like you're really excited to be at uni too.
I am very excited.
What are you studying?
I'm doing a double degree of business and psychology.
So you haven't started small here. You've leapt right in. Why did you choose business and psychology?
Well, I feel over the past few years, particularly in my family at least, I've been exposed to a lot of business backgrounds. My family had a cleaning company that we closed down when we had moved back to Melbourne. And yeah, so I really enjoyed that experience and I was able to be a part of it. So I really enjoyed business. And psychology, I've done elements of it during school that I found really interesting, and I was looking at the career prospects that psychology can go into, and I love the topics. I love everything that you can do in psychology. It's great, and that's why I wanted to study it.
And imagine combining those two things, workplace psychology, very interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
But Arazin, tell us how the Kickstart program works. What do people do when they're involved in it?
Okay, so my colleague Dr. Chapin and I identified this challenges, and given our big population of first and family students at Victoria University, we design a program that will familiarize the students. So we run the programs in two classes of 3 hours, which is similar to the VU way now, the block model teaching. And we use the normal classes. We have a learning management system side, which is we call VU Collaborate. So the students, when they use it, they have a preamble of what they expect the following week. And we try to use all responses to the research, all the challenges that we identified to try to answer in the most familiar way for the students. So what the topics are delivered according to the research and the methods according to the learning they're going to be facing. So the students are both get the interventions, but also the familiarity, the easiness. One of the exercises that we do is we get the students to go to the classroom they're going to start next week and take a selfie, come back to the class, and we got like an interactive Padlet system and they can upload it. And that familiarity is what we want to create, that easiness.
Yeah, harnessing the power of social media. That's very canny.
Absolutely, yes.
And how do you choose who's involved? I imagine you can't have everyone that you would like to involve in it.
We have... In at enrollment, students report whether the level of education of the parents. So we don't ask them as first in family. We say, what's the highest level for your mother or your father? And that's how we identify it. And our recruitment centers email all the students that fit this purpose. And then they contact us and we enroll them in the program and we get things rolling. So this year we have increased the program. We ran a pilot last year with various... very successful data. We were very encouraged to see the students that participated in the program had higher levels of attendance, higher marks, and above all, more hours of study outside the class, which is one of the points that we want to further, that a lot of students are unaware of the commitment they need to do outside class. In the university requires self-discipline and management and time management. So we're very strong in that. That's one of the keys of the program is to help the students manage the new reality of time.
And I guess I have to ask, why is it important for these kids to go to university per se? Why is it better than going and doing the trade that their parents might be involved in or other work?
Well, what we want to do is given the opportunity, if they want to go to uni, increase the equity, increase access, increase the social capital that they bring to uni. Certainly, there's many arguments that university tertiary studies can bring some social mobility to some levels of society. You mentioned lower socioeconomic, but certainly will open opportunities. And if that's what they desire, we want to minimize whatever barriers or whatever challenges they can have. So we certainly are very focused on giving all our students a practical hands-on thing to maximize their outcomes.
Jasmine Kellett, how did your parents say when you said to them, actually, I think I want to go to uni?
Well, I've kind of always known I wanted to go to university since I started high school, just because I had a very positive experience. I did really well academically, got a number of awards, scholarships, bursaries, all this sort of stuff. So I always knew that I didn't want to throw all that education down the sink. So I knew I wanted to go to uni, but when I actually made the final choice of when my parents asked me what I was going to do next year when I had finished, I was like, I'm going to university. And I feel like they were very mixed. They were like, well, why do you need to go to uni? Why spend thousands of dollars? Why go to uni for a few years? Why? Like, why do you need to do this? You know, you could get a trade, you can get a job, you can do this, do that. But no, I've always known I wanted to go to uni because it's investing in my future. Like if I'm doing a trade and I work as a casual, there's potentially a day that I'm not going to get called into work and I will still have bills to pay at the end of that. So no, by going to university, I'm investing in my future and going into a stable career. So.
And your siblings have chosen different paths as well. How did they react?
They're excited for me, but I'm kind of the sheep of the family in terms of how I went academically and how they went. So, yeah, they're really excited for me and they're proud. And, yeah, it's just been overwhelming of how everyone's reacted and it's been a very positive experience. So,
and have your parents changed their thinking at all since you've taken part in the program and started uni and it's clearly happening?
Yeah, my mum in particular, she's a bit of a worrywart. She was like, okay, how are you going to get there? You're going to meet strange people. You're going to do all this. But after talking to her every day, because I still live with my parents, you know, she's become really happy with me of how I'm going and what a great experience I'm having. So, yeah, she's been really happy about it and it's been great.
We're speaking with Jasmine Kellett and Dr. Bert Arayson, who's a psychologist and lecturer at Victoria University, where Jasmine is a student. And we're asking, if you were the first person in your family to go to university, what was that like for you? And did particular things help you feel more like you belonged and you were settled and you could see it through? We'd love to hear your thoughts on our Facebook page. Bert, you said before that Victoria Uni has very high rates of people who are first in their family to
go to uni.
Absolutely,
bordering the 40%.
40%?
Yes.
So why?
Perhaps you mentioned economic status. We are a working class university and we have people from mainly the west of Melbourne and in general it's been working families and now with some sort of social mobility, as I mentioned, our university is giving opportunity to a lot of families to progress into tertiary education. And as I say, we have equity programs for many issues, you know, cultural issues, gender issues. And this is an addition to a whole policy of welcoming, to access, and to provide opportunity. And that's what it's just increased opportunity.
And obviously this is a key thing for a university that's got 40% of its students coming in, not having this level of support that other major universities might have. What are other changes that might help? Could universities in general change the way they structure their entrance procedures, their enrolment procedures? Could there be greater links between universities and families in the lead up to someone actually arriving on campus? What things would help?
Well, in fact, that's an excellent question because we do have a very productive orientation process. And in fact, we have a presentation for families when the families are welcome and we tell them, you know, it's really nice as a parent to see young students and have the parents next to them. So for them, it's all new as well. For most of them, I don't know whether all the parents that come to university with the children are, you know, attended or not. University, we don't have that data, but certainly the support is there, the warmth is there, and we want to create that feeling of opening and welcome and you know and calm all these apprehensions, you know, which is normal people, we parents. I'm working in my profession, and that's a big also inspiration to some of the students. That yes, you know, you're gonna come here, like Jasmine say, get skills, get a career, and then be able to be productive and satisfied in the future.
And I guess the parents' reactions might run the full spectrum from pride, but also bewilderment and confusion, as Jasmine said, but also even some people can experience a feeling of betrayal, you know, this was good enough for me, why is it not good enough for you? How do you address that in a family reaction?
It's funny because, as I say, some people are expected to, you know, if your father was a concreter, you should pour concrete for a living. And the reality is our trades are changing, our manufacturing industry have changed, and we're offering students opportunity to excel in something they really want to, like Jasmine, and say, look, I want to excel in business. Hopefully you'll excel in psychology as well.
Probably both.
or a bit of both. And certainly it's creating the opportunities for the students that are keen and willing to really realize the dreams and the projects for professional development. And in that respect, that is that increased equity and access and not to be limited by the fact that they might have some, you know, sense of belonging doubts or that lack of social support. And as I say, it's a barrier. Some people are very supportive, but they certainly, even the most supporting families, they don't have that knowledge and skill and tradition to pass on to the students. And that's why we're tackling them in the both areas.
Even making space and time at home if the person's still living at home for all that extra study and quiet time.
Absolutely.
Jasmine, how did your family feel about coming to a session at the university and hearing about what it might be like?
I found out about it a little bit late. I didn't check my emails. That happens. But I'm sure if we were able to go, they probably would have, just to see what it's like, what I'm going to be doing for 9 hours at the university, as well as what I'm actually studying at home.
What is my child up to?
Yeah, you know. They're gone for a few hours a week and they're back and they're home and they're in their textbooks and their computers. What's going on?
Yep. And you're commuting for a long time too, aren't you?
Yeah. It's about an hour.
Each way?
Yeah, each way.
Yeah, great. That's a big commitment.
It's fine though, because I can do my pre-reading and my post-reading on the train.
Nice. So, yeah.
Two birds, one stone.
She's got a plan. But are other universities interested in this model and following it up?
Well, we know that the University of Western Sydney and we have cooperated in with some academics from there. They have some addressed these issues or try to address. They don't have a program as such. I think ours is the first program in Australia, but they also have a great percentage of first in family students. So there's a lot of research going on there, and we certainly will encourage our colleagues in Sydney. You know, given that we slowly growing and succeeding to take up a program like Kickstart in New South Wales and perhaps in other areas of the country.
And it's not being offered to TAFE students at the moment at VU.
Absolutely.
Would you like to see it expanded?
Yeah, absolutely. Anything that increases equity and goes with the policies of Victoria University of maximising opportunity. So any areas that increase equity opportunity for our students, I think they should be considered very seriously.
It's hard to see what would the problem be with that. Thank you both so much for chatting to us about it on Life Matters today.
Thank you.
Thank you.